Welcome to Wrestling with the Written Word for Saturday, May 7th, 2016. My name is Stephen Dickey, and I'm here with some of the news for the day. And of course, May 7th, the day after a big Black Friday WWE release day. A lot of major cuts made today on the WWE roster side of things, so a lot of things to run down right now. So let's get into it. First name that was released today, Zeb Colter, former manager of Jack Swagger, Cesaro, and Alberto Del Rio. Of course, Zeb, the famous Dutch Mantel within the wrestling universe. A lot of people have heard that name over the years. Dutch, huge career in professional wrestling, especially during the Memphis days, the Memphis territory, working with the likes of the Jarretts and Jerry the King Lawler during that huge run in Memphis. And of course, played Uncle Zeb during the during some old classic WWF times, playing off some great material there. Very entertaining. This one wasn't surprising in the sense that he was doing a lot on TV. He hadn't been seen really since the League of Nations joined together and Alberto kind of just dropped him as a manager. This one's surprising in the sense that you look at it and you're like, wow, he had a lot more to offer than just being a manager on screen. Of course, Dutch was the person who booked the TNA Knockouts women's division during its early stages and really got that off the ground, really brought a lot of eyes to the product. And of course, those were the days when TNA's women's division and the Knockouts division really earned the ratings for TNA. And had it not been for that women's division that Dutch was booking, TNA would have been in a lot less fortunate situation and a lot less, would not look as strong as they had had it not been for those women's division matches carrying the product and the program at that time. Interesting with Dutch, though, of course, given his relationship with the Jarretts, he's already booked for some Global Force Wrestling shows coming out of his WWE time. Again, just no surprise, given that he's worked with the Jarretts closely over the years. What is surprising, though, is that the graphics all show him listed under his WWE gimmick and moniker of Zeb Colter. So, would have figured WWE had that trademarked, but maybe not. It'll be interesting to see if those graphics don't change here in the next few weeks. The next release that WWE put out there was El Torito. Of course, El Torito, the manager, valet, sidekick, whatever you want to call it, mascot, I think is what the term they used on the TV show was, of Los Matadores, formerly and once again Primo and Epico, the clones. In Mexico, El Torito was known as Mascarita Dorada. And in Mexico, he's considered just a huge name among little people wrestlers. He's wildly popular, great moveset, great athletic ability. I don't doubt that he's definitely one of those guys who will land on his feet after this. He could actually, after this run, he'll probably return to Mexico with an even bigger following than he had in the past. So I think Mascarita Dorada will be fine. And again, not surprising given that we've seen the new hype videos for the new Primo and Epico, them returning to their old gimmick, their old moniker, and now playing up the whole Puerto Rico aspect of their background. So interesting to see what happens with Primo and Epico sans El Torito. One thing I will say about El Torito is I think now after having this run in WWE and working in America, I would not be surprised at all to see him pop up in Lucha Underground. I think they don't have really any little people wrestlers that I'm familiar with right now, but Mascarita Dorada is one of those guys. This is going to sound like an odd comparison, but he's kind of like a Shinsuke Nakamura. You know, just because you don't have other guys like him on your roster doesn't mean you don't take a chance on him. He's so athletic and so gifted that I think, again, if Lucha Underground is smart, they can build a little people division around Mascarita Dorada. So I fully anticipate he will pop up there before too long. The third name on the list is Hornswoggle. I'm not terribly disappointed by this release. Personally, I never got into the act, whether it was the Leprechaun act side of things, or whether it was the him, you know, as three-man band's little sidekick. I just never really much invested in the character or the wrestler. But it's surprising given the fact that he has had such a long career with WWE. You know, I'd say going on 10 years roughly. So, and he had a good amount of popularity during his run with WWE. You know, he was a good character, you know, especially during the PG era when WWE was promoting a more family-friendly product. To see him, he was a character that he was out there every week, whether it was with Chavo Guerrero or, like I said, with 3MB. He clearly had some value in WWE's eyes. And, of course, they put him in the Leprechaun movie a couple years back. You know, you kind of figured that maybe not a lifer, but at least a little bit more more of a better standing than what came of this. But, of course, he had a wellness policy violation last year. He was suspended for a short period of time, and they just never brought him back to TV. So very interesting to see what has transpired in the career of Hornswoggle over the last year, going from somebody who was clearly in the good graces of WWE, but then made some bad choices and clearly lost that good political standing. So it just goes to show you, you know, value your spot and cherish it, because they don't come along very often. Of course, Hornswoggle also booked for some Global Force Wrestling shows as well. It'll be interesting to see how they utilize him, because again, he's not a Global Force doesn't have a lot of little people signed to their division, so we'll see how he does. The next release on the list was Alex Riley. Alex Riley, not even a part of main WWE television the last couple years, mostly relegated to NXT. But seemed like he was catching some fire, seemed like he was catching some momentum. WWE repackaged him and on the NXT brand, and seemed like they were going to try something with him. Was a good guy who got a good transitionary feud with Kevin Owens when Kevin Owens was NXT champion, before he went and feuded with some other people and eventually made his main roster debut. But Alex Riley was kind of a good placeholder while Kevin Owens was coming up. But it seemed like in the last 5 years since he lost his push, he'd had some attitude problems. You know, Alex Riley was one of those guys who had a lot of promise and a lot of potential, especially coming out of his storyline with his breakup with The Miz. It really seemed like Alex Riley was poised for a huge main event run. WWE, he had the look WWE liked. He wrestled a very safe style. He didn't seem like he was out of line very much. They invested in him. They gave him some great entrance music. He just seemed like he was a guy they were investing in. But again, as we saw, he's kind of one of those guys, like we're finding out about Ryback, who seems like he's his own worst enemy, in the sense that he just has some attitude issues that he needs to get straightened out. Hopefully he does. He seems like he's got some talent. He's got some potential there. So we'll see where it goes. And also, remember, he took a break there for about 3 or so years, where he was just doing commentary for various WWE shows and doing the pre-shows on the WWE network. So he doesn't have a lot of mileage on his body when you factor in how long he actually did wrestle. I'm sure he's racked up a few injuries over that time, but he doesn't seem like the type of guy who's going to have to call it quits for any injuries anytime soon. I think he could easily, you know, you could take him and put him into a TNA or a Ring of Honor or a Lucha Underground, and he could probably be a serviceable mid-card guy. I don't see him being a guy you can invest in and build around as the centerpiece babyface or centerpiece heel, for that matter. But I do think he's got a future as a good mid-card act. Next person released by WWE today was Cameron, formerly of the Funkadactyls and, of course, of Total Divas fame. I honestly couldn't believe WWE even hired her after her embarrassing comment on Tough Enough, in which she, when Stone Cold Steve, you'll remember Stone Cold Steve Austin looked her on the very first episode of Tough Enough and asked her what her favorite WWE match ever that she's ever seen, what was her favorite match, and she said Melina versus Alicia Fox, and no disrespect to Melina and Alicia Fox, of course, but A, it was just a match on WWE Superstars, so it wasn't given a lot of hype, it wasn't given a lot of backstory, it was just a throwaway match that WWE does on Superstars, and of course, Alicia Fox, at least, not known as one of the premier WWE female athletes. Great talent, very, very phenomenally talented and a great longevity with the company, but she's just not known as that. She's not known as a centerpiece in the women's division. So that was surprising to begin with. But, you know, as we saw with the Funkadactyl, she clearly offered something there. She added to the act with Brodus Clay and Naomi. And on Total Divas, she must have provided some type of entertainment value. What it was, I don't know. I don't get into that show. So, but clearly they saw something in her. But it just seemed like her release probably stemmed from the fact that she just never progressed in the ring. She was never anybody that you looked at, whether it be her time after the Funkadactyls broke up and they started wrestling. And then you look at her recent time in NXT, where she started to get in the ring a little bit more. And again, just never, she just doesn't look like she's improved at all during her time in the last it's been about four, maybe about three or four years in the company. She just never got to that next level. So, she may accept a few indie bookings down the line, but I don't see her future in wrestling. I think she'll probably look for some opportunities outside of wrestling, whether it be acting, music. I think she's tried to record an album while she was with WWE. So we'll see how that goes. I see her future is outside of wrestling, but she could surprise us all and decide to stick with it. And if she does, I just hope she commits to her in-ring career a little bit more, because that's what she need. That's where she needs to improve the most. Probably the first big name release that we saw today was Santino Marella, was released by WWE. It was surprising in the sense that Santino was clearly somebody that WWE loved. Vince McMahon enjoyed the character. Vince McMahon invested a lot into the character. But I think recently there were some conflicting reports whether or not Santino wanted to continue his career in the ring. Whether that's a result of he was waffling on the decision or the reporting just was not 100%, we don't know yet. But I remember a few, was it about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, there was the story of Santino at a Toronto house show coming out to his hometown crowd and explaining that he, due to a severe neck injury, he was done. It was believed that he was not going to return to the company in a wrestling capacity. So what his in-ring future is, we don't know, because there were also reports that I believe he floated out there that he was training for an in-ring return. So, you know, very, very, at this point at least, we'll see where he lands. But, you know, he's one of those people, too, who has a lot of irons outside of the irons in the fire outside of WWE. He opened up an MMA training facility with some business partners a couple years back, and from what we hear, it does very good business. So it monetarily, I don't think he's a guy who needed to be in WWE. So whether he sticks with wrestling or decides to do something outside of wrestling remains to be seen. But I think he could also be a good commentator in the future too. I think he's got a good, personality and can portray that on screen. So I'd like to see him in wrestling as a commentator, color commentator. I think he'd add a lot of entertainment value in that sense. But the last thing I want to say about Santino is he's one of those guys that had good wrestling ability. You would have never known watching his comedy act in WWE, but he's an MMA-trained guy. He has an MMA background. I believe mostly jiu-jitsu. I could be wrong about that, but I believe his background's jiu-jitsu. So he has that serious background, that serious athletic background. I would have liked to have seen them ditch the comedy act and go a little bit more serious before his time in WWE was up, but clearly he just was never given that chance, and I think he's about 40 years old now, and he's got a lot of mileage on that body, so I don't see him getting that chance anytime soon. You know, I don't see WWE looking at him down the line in a few years and thinking, oh, let's give him another shot. You know, I just don't see it at his age. But I would have liked to have seen that happen before he became one of those missed opportunities that WWE has in their past. Speaking of missed opportunities, the next big release, not really surprising given his contract situation, Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett, of course, floated out there a few months back that his contract would be expiring in June of 2016 and that he would not be renewing. So the fact that he was let go a few weeks early, not surprising. Usually WWE just wants the contract to expire so they don't have to pay anybody out, but if a few weeks, I'm sure they could have agreed to something to break the contract early and either owe him very little or nothing at all at this stage in the contract. Again, like I said, he's one of the big missed opportunities in the last few years in WWE because you look at Wade Barrett and he's got the physique and the look that Vince McMahon really likes. You know, he's about 6'4", 6'5", maybe even taller than that. You know, Vince loves tall guys. Wade Barrett, very svelte for a 6'5", 6'6" kind of guy. Seems like the type of athlete that WWE would enjoy having. And of course, Vince saw something in him at one point. But from what I've seen, injuries plagued him a lot. And he became a became a guy who, they just probably didn't see the point in investing in if he was just going to disappoint them and get injured and throw off their plans. But I, for one, I saw his future as much brighter than it ended up being. Coming out of the Nexus storyline, you know, was that about 6 years ago now? Coming out of that, I really saw him, the potential for him to be a centerpiece heel for guys like Randy Orton and John Cena to play off of for many years and give some fresh matchups to. They kind of burned through that in his first year in WWE with the Nexus. And there just wasn't a lot of room for him to move around. But again, I just feel like this was a guy you could have built around as a centerpiece heel and rotate other baby faces in there and get a lot of good main event matches out of him. I saw him as a WrestleMania main eventer, being able to carry a feud on the mic with the likes of a lot of different guys. It's kind of heartbreaking to see this happen because you realize that WWE just didn't see the same potential that a lot of us saw in Wade Barrett. So it is what it is at this point, though, and he's in his mid to late 30s. I don't see WWE. He's another guy I don't see WWE calling back in the next few years when he's in his early 40s and saying, hey, come on back. You know, we're finally going to give you that main event run. I think it's a little too late with him. And I don't see him really getting excited for that opportunity, especially having the rug pulled out from underneath him so many times. According to Wade Barrett, though, he does say he's going to take a break from wrestling. Released a statement earlier today. Says he will be taking a break from wrestling to explore other opportunities outside of the ring. But he did cement that he will return to wrestling soon. Before that, he's going to explore the other side of his career. And I give him all the credit in the world. I think he's a phenomenal talent and a great wrestler. I hope to see him land somewhere within the wrestling business. I just think he's got such a gift that it'd be tragic to see him not continue his in-ring career in some way, shape, or form. The last release today, little heartbreaking for a lot of fans, Damian Sandow. So heartbreaking, in fact, that Damian Sandow actually trended on Twitter globally for a couple of hours at least. So he's still somebody. I mean, even though he wasn't used on TV a lot recently, he wasn't treated very well on TV lately. He's still somebody who carries a lot of the fans' admiration. Could have easily picked that up and translated that into a solid act somewhere in the WWE landscape. So, for WWE to just kind of, throw their hands up and say, and cut him loose, it's interesting. WWE could spin it that they're giving him the opportunity to spread his wings outside of WWE, but, you got to think, why couldn't they just do that with him under contract? He had the potential. They have 3-hour Raws to fill and 3-hour pay-per-views. He could have fit in there somewhere. So with that being said, again, kind of rating these on a scale of shocking to not shocking at all. This wasn't shocking given the fact that WWE just hasn't been investing in Damian Sandow. They weren't in the business of making Damian Sandow. It's surprising in the sense that, given even just a couple of years ago, WWE saw something in him. What was it, about 3 years ago he had Money in the Bank? I mean, WWE clearly had, there was some value there somewhere. And of course the story, I've said it on the WrestleMania podcast before, the story is that after he was given Money in the Bank, they feel like he didn't value his spot. He put on some weight and got complacent and they took it off of him, which I just don't agree with. And then, of course, given the Damian Mizdow, Macho Mandow kind of era there, the fans got behind him. They rallied behind him so strongly. It's weird to see WWE just completely give up on a guy where the fans and the crowd was so invested in this guy. Just kind of, that's where it becomes shocking. Again, he's another guy with Wade Barrett that you look at the list of missed opportunities, and he's one of them. I'm not saying he could have been the guy to build around like a Wade Barrett, like I saw that potential in Wade Barrett, but he clearly had that ability. I feel like when they had the two world champions or the two world titles, he could have been a guy who could have been a transitional champion, held the title for a couple of months while you build up a babyface challenger and get him hot. And he could have been a perfect fall guy for that. He could have done that so well. And he could have been a great heel foil for guys like Cena and Orton. And as we're seeing right now, Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns needs some heels to work with. Why could a Damian Sandow not have been put into that role as just a heel for Roman Reigns to go through or have a solid 2 to 3 month program with and build up some effective wins and build up some equity? I feel like Roman Reigns, of all people, could really benefit from a Damian Sandow guy bumping all over the ring for him. So, definitely missed opportunity. I'm interested to see, though, with him trending on Twitter after being released, can he carry this momentum somewhere else? Whether it be a TNA, or a Ring of Honor, or a Lucha Underground, or somebody else that's out there, can he take this momentum and do something with it? That is the million-dollar question right now. I would love to see him make WWE regret releasing him. I don't think they will. I don't think there's any other promotion out there in the position to make them regret this, but I like his potential. I think he's still at an age where he has a lot to offer. I will definitely keep my eyes on him coming out of this situation. Few notes to wrap up on. Of course, Jim Cornette put out some comments earlier today where he said WWE had to fire guys like Damian Sandow and Wade Barrett because they had to make room for more Total Divas castmates. Just preposterous claims by Jim Cornette. Disappointing, too, when you think about his place in the industry, because on one hand, you've got a guy who contributed a lot to the business as a manager, you know, of the Midnight Express, you know, and his great, just solid time managing those guys, and of course running Smoky Mountain Wrestling and later running WWE Developmental. Disappointing to hear him say things like that. Not surprising, and not disappointing in the sense that he's just become one of those guys who wants to be in the news and make stupid comments and say whatever is on his mind, and he thinks everything's a shoot DVD, and he just wants his name out there. So, but one thing, my rebuttal to him saying they have to make more room for Total Divas castmates. When you look at the Total Divas cast and you see people like Paige, Natalya, and Maryse on the Total Divas cast list, I'm fine if they hire more Total Divas castmates. If those are the three, if they can hire more like those three, that's fine. They're three of the most talented workers on the entire roster, male or female. So, that's fine. Fire 10 Hornswoggles and hire 20 Pages, 20 Natalias, 20 Maryses. WWE is going to be in good shape. So he's just trying to get whatever headline, whatever attention he can get at this point. And he's just a bitter old fool in the wrestling business at this point. And he's just crazy Uncle Jim, and you can't really put much stock into what he says. So, give me a Paige, a Natalya, or a Maryse over a Hornswoggle, and Alex Riley or a Cameron any day of the week. So, yeah, there you go, Jim. And last but not least, the one thing I want to wrap up on is a couple days ago, WWE released that Shane McMahon will be on a podcast on the WWE Network with Mick Foley, and they're pitching it as a tell-all podcast. Looking at it, I don't really think this is going to be a true tell-all. A, it's on the network. B, it's being hosted by Mick Foley, who is clearly, judging by his WWE reality show, more of a company guy now than he ever has been. He loves being in WWE's good graces, so it's not like Mick is going to ask any hard-hitting, groundbreaking questions to trip up Shane. Unless Vince just gives Foley a list of questions and be like, here, have some fun with it. I just see this being kind of like very superficial, on-the-surface type stuff, kind of like what Jericho's podcast was. It's just you've got a guy there and Mick Foley who's just going to toe the company line. I love Mick Foley as far as his comedy and his personality and just his upbeat, you know, attitude. But he's very much a company man for WWE, so I don't see him, you know, asking Shane too many hard-hitting questions. They probably will get into the whole Shane leaving for the video-on-demand company that he started up in China. I don't see them getting into the insider trading stuff. I don't see them getting into that at all. I don't see them getting into the personal aspect of his relationship with Vince or Stephanie or Linda or Triple H for that matter. And I don't think we'll get his candid comments on how he felt about the Undertaker match. It'll be very surface, glossy type stuff that they'll just talk about. So, we'll see how it goes. I'll watch it and I'll probably do a review for the podcast, but I don't see it being anything groundbreaking by any means. That's going to do it for me today. Don't forget to listen to the episode from a couple days ago, May 5th, talking about the Ryback situation, Adam Rose and Eric Young debuting on NXT. Check it out. It was the debut episode. Really liking this format that I'm doing here, liking this podcast. I like reaching out to people and kind of spreading the wrestling news and giving my opinion on it. So, feel free to leave me some feedback. Once again, the email is asksdickey@gmail.com. That's asksdickey@gmail.com. Drop me a line, question, comment, anything. And hit me up on Twitter, sdickeywow, that's sdickeywow. Reach out to me, hit me up however you like. I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully everybody is enjoying the show. Thank you for Thank you for listening. Thank you for the feedback so far. Until next time, I'm Stephen Dickey, and have a good day.